Let me, first of all, just say how grateful I am that the universe orchestrated things recently for me to be able to be here 2 Sundays in a month. Yay, God. To be honest with you, I have thought about this I had let go of thinking about this possibility, but I had thought about this possibility years ago. I think I probably gave it up about maybe 7 years ago when my schedule got so busy and locked in. But I really am grateful that the universe has allowed now to be the time that I'll be able to be here. I love you all so much, one by one and name by name. I love this ministry. My heart has been with this ministry all these years, and it always will be. So I'm just very, very grateful. I'm also grateful for the daily word, for the word that we get, which is triumph. And triumph, I've said plenty of times that we are not just here to survive. That is not our mission. We're here to thrive. And the word triumph, like, goes along with that thriving part. Triumphing is more than just a bare overcoming of a challenge. It is a victory that rises you so far beyond the challenge that you are facing that you feel like a hero. I saw a movie once, and I don't know the character in it, but the character said that these days you have to act like a hero or think like a hero in order to just act like a regular person. That you must think like a hero. A hero has come here to go into arenas of apparent darkness, not to get freaked out in those arenas, but to be the light in those arenas that dispels the darkness. And this is our mission. We have been told that we are the light of the world. And I think of that sometimes as being a flashlight being afraid of the dark, or a candle being afraid of the dark, or a lantern being afraid of the dark. The purpose of a lantern is to dispel the dark. The purpose of a flashlight is to dispel the dark. The purpose of just striking a match is to dispel the dark. So sometimes when we find ourselves encountering arenas of apparent darkness, we get freaked out, forgetting that we are the light that came to dispel that darkness. We never need to get freaked out. All we need to do is to enter into the secret, sacred place of the Most High, where we are clear that we are the light. I am the light that has come to dispel the darkness. I want you to do something that I've asked you to do many of times. If you have ever been through a challenge that really, really, really challenged you, if you've ever been through the dark night of the soul, if you've ever been through the so-called valley of the shadow of death, if you have ever had a health challenge, a physical health challenge that kind of rocked you, if you've ever had a mental health challenge that rocked you, if you've ever had an emotional challenge that rocked you, if you've ever had a financial challenge that rocked you, if you've ever had your feelings hurt and didn't know how you would ever get over it, if you have ever held a grievance with another person for something they did or failed to do that had your mind consumed with them, if you have ever been confused and didn't know when the confusion will end, if you've ever been in your bed not wanting to get up in the morning, if you've been through any of this kind of stuff, would you please raise your left hand and keep it in the air? And I ask if you would look around the room, because sometimes you think you're the only one going through. You think you're the lone ranger when it comes to challenges. But if you look around the sanctuary, you will get that each and every one of us has been privy to these challenges. If you're able to keep that hand up, please do. If you're not, just relax into a comfortable position. But I like those of us who are able to keep this left hand up, to keep it up. And I'll tell you why. This is the hand we like to hide from other people. We like to put a smile on our face, sometimes put on rose-colored glasses, and we like not to reveal the fact that we have been visited by something that shook us. We don't like other people to know how many times we have been through the dark night of the soul. We don't want anyone to know that a health crisis is a critical crisis to us in our experience of it, and that a financial crisis is a crisis to us when we are experiencing it. So this is okay. I want everybody to know that I've been through the full gamut of human experience. I've been lied on, talked about, cheated, and mistreated. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I have had times when I've lost my home and other times when I've lost my employment. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I have had people that I really cared about and wanted to stay in my life, exit my life with giving me the bird on top of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I have been all through the valley of the shadow. I have been there more times than I can count. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I have prayed more times than I could even tell you for someone who has experienced the appearance of disease to stay in their body, to keep on breathing, and to stay in my life in a physical sense, only to watch them take their last breath and go on home where they were headed before I prayed my prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I don't want to hide my left hand. I want you to know that I've had moments where it was not easy for me just to keep sucking in a breath and pushing it out. I want you to know that there have been moments where I've been in the fetal position in my bed for 3, 4, 5, 6 days at a time, only crawling out to go to the bathroom and drink a glass of water. I want you to know what I have triumphed over. If you have ever gotten over a broken heart, if you've ever let somebody else off the hook or yourself off the hook or life off the hook or God off the hook, if you've ever forgiven someone who has broken you in any kind of a way, if you have ever made it through a financial crunch and got through on the other side, if you have ever experienced the experience of dis-ease and made it through, I want you to raise your right hand. And again, I want you to look around the room so that you know that this is not just your story. It's every brother and sister's story on this planet. We have all been through the crap so many times we couldn't even tell you. And we have all gotten out of the crap more times than we can even tell you. The reason why I like the left-hand experience is because it is followed, if I allow for it, by a right-hand experience. I always tell people when you've got both hands in the air that you are the living symbol and a living testament to the resurrecting power of God. You see, as much as we would wish it to be another way, it is only by having a test that we are allowed to have a testimony of how I got over, of what I made it through. It is only by having a trial that we can ever have a triumph. I like the sports show that came out with a little statement that it makes, and it talks about sports people and what it's like to go out on the playing field, and sometimes you will lose and sometimes you will win. It doesn't even matter if you have a 111 win winning streak going on. At some point, someone is going to break that streak. So in the sports field, they talk about gathering your stories of the agony of defeat and the thrill of victory. I can look at my life and I can see that sometimes my most exciting, most alive periods of the thrill of victory were so amazing because they had been preceded by a story of the agony of defeat. I don't know if you're like me, but if I'm in good health, like week after week and month after month, I tend to take it for granted. I tend not to just jump out of bed saying, oh, isn't it awesome to feel so good, to just be breathing deeply and regularly, to not have my stomach upset. And so it gets old for me sometimes, just feeling good. But let me tell you, if a cold or a flu enters the picture, if I'm out working in my garden and I twist my ankle, those weeks of having the flu and those weeks of walking like with crutches because my ankle is twisted, when that ankle finally heals or when just a little cold is finished with its process, I feel like $1 million. Just walking without a crutch, and just breathing without hacking, without coughing, without spitting, and without blowing my nose. It's like for a week or two, I am on top of the world. I am living the triumphal experience of just feeling regular. As some of you know, I did flatline in August in the hospital, and this is the thing I like about flatlining. is that flatlining, and I'm a witness, it means you're dead. If you are not flatlining in your life, it means you're alive. I watched that thing when I came back, and that little machine, there's something going up and down and up and down and up and down, and I know that means I'm still alive. My heart is still beating. I am still breathing. I still have an opportunity to do more and to be more with this amazing gift called life. And with the threat of death present, it certainly took me into weeks and weeks of a deeper level of meditation than I had been practicing previous to that experience. I wanted to find out what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be and what I wanted to have while I'm alive. It's something to have a group of doctors around your bedside telling you you were gone, telling you that you went into complete cardiac arrest, and then you came back. Well, what I want to know is, what did I come back for? I know where I went. It was a place of such startling light that nothing on earth even compares to it. It was a place where I absolutely knew that I was light and you were light, and anyone and anything that has ever manifested on this plane is nothing but light. It is light that is put into forms of people and forms of trees and rocks and animals, but it's all light congregating according to a thought pattern that any particle of the light puts out. I was clear that there are no bad guys and no good guys. I was clear that everyone really is everyone. I've said before, we are here playing a game of pretending, and the game that we are playing in our pretense is the game of pretending that I am me and you are not. And we have been informed by our teachers that our salvation, our true opportunity to live a triumphal a living day-to-day, moment-to-moment, is to come into a recognition that I am me and so are you. You are you and so am I. It's to get to an understanding that everybody is everybody. Everybody is everybody. But we're playing a game of I'd love to pretend that I am me and you are not. And so I've said before, we have Democrats pretending they are not Republicans. We have black people pretending they're not white people. We have gay people pretending they're not straight, and straight people pretending they're not gay. We have the rich pretending they're not the poor, and the poor pretending they're not the rich. We have all these people, and we are involved in the game ourselves of pretending I am me and you are not. And we do not just visit this erroneous thought upon one another, but we visit this erroneous thought upon the creator of all creation. And it occurs to me that no matter how many times many of us hear the truth statement that I and God are one, it is impossible for some of us to believe that that is true, because we truly have forgotten who we are and whose we are. We have made up a story about ourselves that looks like something other than God. Many of us not only are incapable of taking on the thought that God and I are one, some of us are incapable of taking on the thought that I am worthy of the love of God. For many, many years now, I think maybe 20-some years, I've done the prayer for protection, and I have always been clear that for a while I did the prayer of protection in a way that really had me not being God connected. And so when I would say the light of God surrounds me, what I was thinking in that moment was, I am just a dark little shadow, and I really need and hope that the light of God will surround who I am, the little shadow. When I thought the love of God enfold me, please let the love of God enfold me, because I am loveless. I am incapable of loving myself and others. So that's who I am. So let who I'm not, which is God, come and bring its light into my life. I about 20-some years ago in a meditation doing the prayer for protection, heard the words, when I said, the light of God surrounds me, I heard the words, of course it does. You are it. The love of God enfolds me. Well, of course it does. That's what you are. And I realized I was no longer a dark little loveless, powerless human being asking God, who is not me, to shine its grace and love upon me. It was a call for me to draw out, to pull out who I really am, to take off the mask, the persona, the personal self that I believe I am is not who I am. So it's to strip all of that away. It reminded me of Michelangelo carving the statue of David, and one of his friends came in after he had carved it and said, oh my God, how did you ever, out of that big piece of stone, how did you ever get this beautiful, beautiful statue of the boy king shepherd David? And Michelangelo is reported to have said, I simply chipped away everything that wasn't him. David was always hidden in the rock. I chipped away everything that was not him. I think that through our tests and through our trials and through the normal process of life, we are being invited to chip away everything that is not us. Because trust me, the holy child of God in whom God is well pleased may be hidden in a rock. It may be hidden under the rubble in your life, but it is there waiting to be revealed. And my mama can't reveal it. And my daddy can't reveal it. And my lover can't reveal it. Not even my preacher, my teacher, my rabbi can reveal it. This work is up to me. We have to think like a hero in order to behave like a regular, ordinary human being. My title today is Three Little Words. And to me, they are the most important three little words that I can contemplate. And they are the most important three-letter words in the entire scriptures. And they come out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus at this moment is being distrusted by people. He seems to be living a life that looks too good to be true. And many people around him are wondering, where does his power come from? Where does he get this light? See, what he had done was chipped away everything that wasn't Christ, that wasn't his true self, which is Christ, which is your true self and my true self. He had chipped all that away. And in the presence of such brilliant light, people who are not brilliant light in their own minds get freaked out and upset. Have you ever not been afraid of something while everyone around you was fearful of it? They get ticked off at you. No one wants to really be in the presence of someone who is broken free from all of the chains that seem to bind us. And so they wonder what's going on. And people were saying to Jesus on this occasion, like, where does your power come from? It must come from dark sources, because we are the people of God and we don't have such power. We are the people of God and we are still stuck in the stone. We have not chipped away everything that was not the living Christ. And so Jesus found himself in the position many times of going through a trial, which led to a triumph. And many times the people around him were wanting to stone him. In those days, according to the laws of Moses, anyone who stood outside of the laws of Moses for the good of God should be stoned. And this was one of those occasions where they were about to try to stone Jesus yet again. It had happened on occasions before. And this time Jesus says, what are you trying to stone me for? Is it for the good works that I have done? Is it because I appear to be the light of the world and you who think you're a shadow in the presence of the light are upset about it? Is it because I appear to be different from the masses? Why is it that you wish to stone me? And they answered him and said, we wish to stone you for the biggest sin that any human being could ever commit. And that is the sin of having the nerve to proclaim, I and God are one. Unity Church is based on that understanding of our oneness with our Creator. It is founded in that teaching that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know why? Like I heard 20-some years ago, because you are that love. You are not love, begging for love to come and rescue you. You are love, and it is you who you have been waiting for to rescue you. There is only one Savior of your world, and you are it. So when they say to Jesus, you proclaim the blasphemy of having the nerve to believe and to state that you are at one with the Father, at one with the Source, at one with the almighty power of the living God. And Jesus responded saying, is it not written in your law? And here he refers to a psalm. This psalm had been around before he was ever born. He's not making this stuff up. He wasn't the first to say it, to commit this blasphemy. So he knows that these are people of the law, people of the Psalms. So he brings back to their remembrance, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. Those are the three little words that make all the difference when someone takes them into their consciousness and into their heart and believes in them. To believe in your oneness with God. One thing I love about this scripture, upon picturing it, is that when it says, is it not written in your scriptures, is it not written in your law that ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High? I love that it tacks on the second part, and all of you are children of the Most High. Because this is what I've seen a few people do in my lifetime who have grabbed a hold of these three little words. I've known people who have grabbed a hold of this thought of I and God are one. I am one with my Source. I and God are one. And what they have done with it is that in the consciousness, in the feeling of being one with God, they start lording over all of the other people. They make the mistake of thinking they are capital G-O-D, when in this scripture it is written little G-O-D, and there's an S on it, and it follows up with, and all of you. Let me tell you, the people that I have known in my life and witnessed in my life who have come into a consciousness of I and God are one, I am God with a capital G, that's a psychotic breakdown. That's psychotic to think I am big G. I'm big G of the world. You have to remember your little G. O-D, and that there's an S on the end of it, and that it goes on to say, and all of you are children of the Most High. You see, if you remember your divinity for you alone and forget that everybody else is divine as well, you're psychotic. It will lead you not into the light, but into deeper and deeper realms of darkness. It will not support the unity and the oneness that our Creator wants us to awaken to. It will support a deeper sleep and a deeper dream of separation, where now you have an opportunity to declare, I am God and you're not. Some of us don't do that like as individuals, but some of us do that with our special interest groups. We come to think that as a Democrat, I am God, and Republicans are not. Some people do it with just their culture or their race. Oh, people of color are God, and people with no color are not. Or in the reverse, white skinned people are God, and people of color are something less. At 65 years old, I have lived through a time when it was certifiably stated that my people were not 100% human beings. I forget what the percentage was, but it was less than 100. I don't know if they said that we were 67% human and the rest not or whatever. The deal with what you, who you want to be, what you want to have, and what you want to do must be a shared desire. What you wish for you, you must wish for others. The only way to keep your blessing is to be an extender of them. The only way to recognize your own divinity is to acknowledge the divinity in others. And remember, the scripture says, all of you. It's a bummer to some of us that we can't have at least one exception to the rule. Because some of us have discovered in a human sense that it's fun to have an enemy. It is fun to have an other. It is fun to have someone on the screen who we can get the agreement of those around us who are crazy, out of their mind, egomaniacs, whatever. It's so fun for some of us to sit on the seat of self-righteousness, believing God and I are one, but certainly God and him can't be. God and her can't be. Maybe 67%. But he or she is not fully a child of God. It's amazing that we do to other people what we can't stand other people to do to us. Here we are walking along doing the best we can, speaking out of our own consciousness. Sometimes what comes out of our mouth and out of our behavior is something really high, and sometimes it's something really low. Everybody in the human experience is a mix. None of us has finished chipping off the rock that is not David. But the boy King David is in there. And I urge us to continue doing the work on us so that we can come into a forever experience of holding in our heart the three little words, ye are gods. That goes for me. And it goes for you. It means that all power and all authority in heaven and in earth are given to us. It means as though, even though Jesus said, the Father and I are one, he followed it up with, and the Father is greater than I am. The people didn't understand what he meant. Wait a minute, he just said, he and the Father are one. And then he follows it up with, the Father is greater than he is. How can you be one with something and then it be greater? He was announcing, I am little G-O-D among the G-O-D-S's. And all of us are children of the Most High. What I want for Carlos, I've got to want for you. That's the cost of me having it. If I want to be blessed, doggone it, I have to want you to be blessed. And much as my ego self, my personality self, my fake self, as much as my phony self would love for me to be able to convince myself that I can have at least one person who is not all that in the way I am and have the fun with that, and get together with other people and talk about that and make emails all day long about that and go on Facebook about that and text about that. Do you not know what it means to worship? It means to keep your mind steadfastly on a thing, believing that thing has the power to either help you or hurt you. We are worshiping that. If that takes over your mind, if it's what you think about and what you talk about and what you want to be involved in, if it's a reoccurring theme in your own mind, you are worshiping. To worship is to keep your mind steadfastly on a thing, believing that thing to have the power to bless you or curse you. If you are not careful, you will think that this is the President of the United States of America. I have told you, it doesn't matter who the President of the United States is. How are you presiding in your role of the President of your own state of consciousness? That's your job. That's your role. Ye are gods. How does it feel to just sit with that thought? Ye are gods. You and the one to your right and the one to your left and the one in front and the one in back. Everybody out on the street. If you are tempted ever to walk past a houseless person, this is something I just got, and I got it from the Hawaiians. In Hawaii, they never call the people sleeping on the streets homeless. They call them houseless because they truly believe that home is where the heart is. And if you and your children are under a cardboard box in the middle of winter under a freeway overpass, and you are loving your children and loving that you have an opportunity to suck air in and push it out, you are home. If you are tempted this week to pass a houseless person, believing yourself somehow to be better than that person, catch yourself. Is it not written in your law that ye are gods? And all of you, children of the Most High. The good deal about us working on ourselves is that minding other people's business, yes, it's so much more fun. And it is a waste of time. The time that I am giving to working on you, I need to be working on me. I want us to get these three little words, which are three big words. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God does want you to know you have nothing to fear and that there's nothing and no one to blame. You have been informed. Your captivity is over. You have been informed. In truth, you are free. So it is. Peace! Thank you, brother.
I am so blessed. So blessed. Coming together in sacred prayer is a celebration. In the silence of our innermost beings, we celebrate our connection with God and express gratitude for life itself. The breath we take, the beating of our hearts, the activity of our creative mind. In this innermost place, we suspend all worries and focus on our true spiritual nature, our highest selves. We release all concerns and relax into the infinite and unconditional love of God. Free and light, we commune with God in this glorious moment of inner prayer. In the intimacy of this prayer, we let go of any negativity or fear and only center on divine love. At this moment, we surrender to God and place all trust in God. Trusting God absolutely and at all times, we have an unshakable peace of mind. In God we know all things are possible. Aware of this truth, we always give thanks. In this precious moment of prayer, let's consecrate our oneness with Spirit. Aware that divine life radiates through me and constantly renews me, I affirm for myself life, wholeness, knowing that healing is already accomplished. In this prayer and thanksgiving, we experience our true purpose and live the prosperous and full lives we are meant to live. Using our creative energy and filled with divine ideas, we open to new avenues of prosperity. We truly believe we are co-creators with God, alive to the inspiration of Spirit, and we attune ourselves to the work of Spirit and to our divine purpose. And with a renewed sense of peace and knowing, we enter into the prayer, the sound of silence. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We abide in divine love and awareness of that love, and we affirm peace in our world. We envision love in the hearts of all people and truly allow our own personal sense of peace to radiate to all. Peace is a choice, and we choose to live in peace with ourselves, our families, our communities, and our nation. We commit ourselves to living and working with one another in harmony, understanding, and respect. And as we bring our attention back to this time and place, ready to return to the day's activities, we take with us a renewed awareness of the love of God within. And we remember, and we know, and we affirm that I am free to be the expression of God I was meant to be. And so it is.